My heart today, I kind of bring a heavy heart with you guys, or before you guys, and I really want to talk about purity, and the message I titled this is Purity Precedes Power. And the reason why it's heavy on my heart is because, just so you know a little bit about me, and it's good, it's always great when you have a guest speaker come in that you just, I share a little bit about my life with you guys, just so you know about me a little bit, because a lot of you guys don't know me from the wall, you know, and here I am before you teaching the Word of God to you guys. But I am from San Fernando Valley in California, and I am from a non-Christian background. I've been saved for 17 years now. I came to know Christ at Calvary Chapel of Simi Valley with Pastor Dave Guzik and a man named Pete LaJoy when I was about 16 years old. Yeah, so long. I'm 35 now. I say that and I go, wow, that was a while ago. but growing up in the valley, I was I lived first in Hollywood, and my parents lived there, and they moved from the East Coast to Hollywood, and I was around a lot of things. My dad was involved with the pornography industry when I was a child. My dad was an alcoholic, a drug addict, and I was around a lot of those things growing up. And believe me, it's taken a lot of years to get through a lot of that stuff that's happened in my life. And I have a wonderful wife, who I've known since I was 7 years old, and we grew up in the same town together, and have gone through our own struggles together growing up. And you know, one of the things that we've been able to see in our life is that victory over sin. And I really want to bring a message of hope to you guys that there is a way that you can have victory over sin in your life today. I would have never thought in my life that I would be able to stop doing crystal meth and stop doing the things I did and stop doing the lustful behavior that I did. But yet, I could say today, by the grace of God, that I have victory in Jesus Christ. And it's been a powerful testimony for me to go around and to talk about issues of sin and struggles with sin and things like that, because it affects the church. And that's why I bring kind of a heavy message to you guys today about purity precedes power, because we are going to talk a little bit about God's holiness and God's purity. And whenever we deal with the holiness of God, it should really convict our hearts. There's no doubt about that. And I bring this message to the church. So if you're not a believer here, we're going to pray right now that you get saved in the next 10 seconds. So let's pray. Father, we just come to you right now, and Lord, this word is for your body, for your church, Lord, how to overcome sin in our lives. And Father, who am I? I do not come before these people in eloquent speech or in my own power, Lord, but I just come in the name of Jesus, Lord, to bring your word. And I pray if there's any here that does not know your word, Lord Jesus, that does not know you, and that they are still before you, a holy God, in their sins, Lord, and they are convicted, Lord, that you would bring them to a place of salvation before we even begin, before we start or go on anymore, Lord, that they would come to know you right now as Lord and Savior, that in their heart they would say, yes, Jesus, I do need you. I do thank you for dying on that cross for my sins. I do believe that you rose from the dead on the third day, and that you came to give me life and life abundantly. And I want to receive that life today, this morning. And I just pray that you would touch those that are here that don't know you, Lord, that they would receive you right now. And for those of us that do know you, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit that indwells us would convict us, Lord, and it would encourage us, and it would edify us, Lord, and admonish us, and lead us to grow in our walks with the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I hope someone got saved right now. God is pure. Habakkuk 1:13. That passage says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. One of the things we tend to forget, I think, is that God is holy. And when you think of holiness, you know, I wasn't raised in the church. So when someone said, you know, God's holy, I was like, what are you talking about? You know, it didn't make no sense to me. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to us, you know, the word holiness. Just think of it as the word whole. God is whole. And we are not whole. We're incomplete. And God is whole. And part of that holiness is that God is also pure. There's a purity with God. No he's not contaminated at all. You know, we live in a Christian culture that has brought God down to our image, to our level, in order to justify our lives. And that's a sad statement, but I believe it's true. That the Christian culture at large doesn't see so much, you don't see God as so much pure anymore. There's not too much talk about the holiness of God and the purity of the Lord. And, you know, a lot of times we will attend fellowships and you'll go around and you'll see the different church cultures there are. And you don't see much difference from, you know, going to a rock concert to a church. You don't sense much difference there. You know, you don't sense that there's that holiness plays a part in the church that much anymore today. And that purity is a part of that. A.W. Tozer wrote a great book, and I recommend it. It's called Knowledge of the Holy. If you're ever interested in reading just a book on God, on who God is, The Knowledge of the Holy is a great book. And he wrote, "Until we have seen ourselves as God sees us, we are not likely to be much disturbed over conditions around us, as long as they do not get so far out of hand as to threaten our comfortable way of life." You know, we will allow sin in our life as long as we still remain comfortable. And that's a sad truth, but it's so true that we will grow complacent in our walk with Jesus Christ and allow bits of sin in our life as long as it doesn't, you know, ruffle the feathers. If no one knows about it, then hey, you know, I'm not really hurting anybody. You know, hey, that's just my area, you know, kind of that I do. You know, that's kind of my thing, you know, and that's, you know, and we have those things and we tend to think that, you know, that's not going to affect anybody. You know, I like that quote by A.W. Tozer. I like how he says that as far that it does not get so far out of hand as to threaten our comfortable way of life. You know, we can get comfortable in sin as a Christian and become back in bondage to the things that we first came to Jesus Christ to be freed from. You know, and there's passages in the Bible that talk about a dog returns to its vomit. And I know they're gross passages. I mean, you read them and you're like, ugh, you know what I mean? That doesn't give me a good vision or anything. But it's true that as you can even be a Christian, yet stumble and yet go right back into a bondage way of life. You know, and you grow comfortable within that sphere of sin in your life. God, I hope, will kind of make us uncomfortable this morning. And if God uses me to make you uncomfortable with where you're at in your walk with God and stirs you up to draw you closer, and that's my whole desire is to draw you closer to Jesus Christ, then right on. You know, then being uncomfortable is a good place. You know, because it's only when I'm uncomfortable with my Christian life, it's only really when I'm at a place where I'm like, Lord, I'm really looking at your holiness and I'm looking at your purity and I compare it with my own purity and my own holiness, and that I can't really stand before you in a comfortable place. You know, it's hard to look at a pure God and to not be uncomfortable before him. And we see that over and over in the Bible, where Peter will say, "Go away from me, Lord. Man, I am a man of unclean lips." People will say to Jesus, "Man, you know, I want you, but yet there's got to be a distance to the holiness of God." You know, and that uncomfortability is a good thing. So if that's stirred up in you this morning, that's a good thing. You know, and I hope that you would use that to draw closer and to seek God, and to seek His will for your life. 1 Peter tells us that it says, calls us to be holy as I am holy. And that's a quote from the Old Testament. And you read that throughout your Bible. If you started in the book of Genesis and you started reading throughout your Bible, you would come along passages that would say, be holy as I am holy, be holy as I am holy. God calls His people to be holy as He is holy. Now, if we lived, check this out, if we lived in the Old Testament days with the tabernacle, with this tent where it was like a church, but it was a church on wheels, so to speak. And God would show His glory there in this pillar of fire, in this cloud. And if we were part of the 12 tribes of Israel, and we were in our sections, our tribal sections and everything like that, we would see this appearance of God and this holiness of God, and we would have to get checked by the priest. You know, we'd go into the presence of God, we'd have to get our skin checked, and if we had some blemishes and stuff like that, you know, you'd have to go outside of the camp and for 7 days and go through this purification thing. And the whole point of all of this, and we read the Old Testament, a lot of you guys have read the Old Testament, you probably go, man, there's a lot of stuff here, you know, I'm having a hard time getting through it. But a lot of it had to deal with the holiness of God, that God is pure. And God was trying to get His point across that you can't have something that's common, what was called common, something not pure, hanging around with me because I am absolute purity. And God says that that He desires for His people to be pure as He is pure. Now, God doesn't dwell in a moving tent anymore. God dwells in me and in you. That's what's happened through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the resurrection. That now He actually takes up residence in you. So guess what you are to reflect? His purity. You are to be a reflection to the world of purity. When people want to know how pure God is, they are to look at His church and see the purity within the body of Christ. And they are to be convicted utterly of their sin before a holy and a pure God. The Lord says in Isaiah 35, and have you ever heard of, I remember growing up hearing a song by a pagan band that had a song, Highway to Hell. And that is from the Bible. If you read Proverbs chapter 6, it talks about a highway to hell and just how impurity will lead you into the direction of that. And in Isaiah 35, it talks about a highway to heaven. It says, and a highway will be there, and this is Isaiah 35:8, a highway will be there, it will be called the way of holiness. And the unclean will not journey on it, it will be for those who walk in that way. And what is that way that's talked about? That those that would walk in this road, this path, you know, with the Lord, it will be a way of holiness. And purity is part of that holiness. It's a foolish thing for us to presume upon the grace of God and think that we can live a life apart from purity and see God. And that has been the mistake of a lot of those in the church, is that they presume upon the grace of God. And what I mean by that, it's almost like when Jesus was tempted by Satan. You know, the presuming on the grace of God is kind of like this, is where Satan says to him, hey, you throw yourself off this mountain. You know, God's word says that He will have His angels take charge of you. You know, they'll take care of you. You know, Satan quotes the Bible and tells Jesus, he tries to be the teacher. You know, he tries to instruct Jesus Christ. Oh, this is what the Father says. You know, you could jump because in the Psalms it says the angels will take charge of you. So go ahead and jump. And you know, Jesus, of course, rebukes Satan for that. But presuming on the grace of God is doing just that. And what that looks like in a Christian's life is when the Christian says, oh, you know what, I can go about this area of sin in my life. And you know what, it's okay. God will forgive me. God does forgive me. I'm just going to go about doing this. And they just go about in doing that, and they presume upon the grace of God. And if you do that over and over and over and over in your life again, you won't have a Christian life. You know, you will destroy not only your testimony for Jesus Christ, but you will destroy your own life doing that, presuming upon the grace of God. You know, God is not to be mocked. And God is no fool. And at times I think we presume that God will just go, oh yeah, you know, yeah, that's right. You want to go sin up the storm? Hey, go for it. It's okay. My blood, you know, my son died for you. You know, it's okay. You know. And so the church doesn't have that heartfelt, you know, conviction, you know, on the purity that it's supposed to walk in to reflect that holy God. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Some of the most basic things Jesus taught. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. In Hebrews it says that without holiness, no one will see God. Without a purity in our own lives, we won't see the Lord either. And our lives should be examples of purity. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy, I'll just share this passage with you. Chapter 4, verse 12. It says, and Paul's speaking to Timothy, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So purity is part of that being an example. And that should reflect, that should be in our own lives. It says in the book of Ephesians, an incredible passage on purity, Ephesians chapter 5. It says in verse 3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And that is so convicting. Not even a hint, you know. Not even a part of it. Not even a part of our lives going in that direction. You know? And it burdens me to know that the church on a whole, when you look at the church on a whole, you see, there not even being a hint of impurity in the church today, you know, in our lives. You know, have I allowed, as a person in the body of Christ, have I allowed a little bit of sin to come into my life and take charge of my life? You know, and to put me back into bondage under an old master that is kind of comfortable because he's an old master, but instead of the new one, which is Jesus Christ, that's in my life. Examples of purity preceding power that I wanted to bring to your attention is found in the book of Acts. One of them is found in the book of Acts, chapter 19. And I hope you guys see this. If you go to verse 18, I actually put everything down on a piece of paper for you guys, making it really easy. It's almost like you don't even need your Bible today because I wrote all the words of God right there. But I hope you guys do flip in your Bible too. You know, even if I do have a sheet by me, a lot of times I'll always still have a marker with me and I'll always underline it in my Bible just to remind me of it. But it says in verse 17, we'll start there. I know your papers say 18, but we'll start in verse 17. And just a little background is Paul's in Ephesus and God's really using him to minister to the people there. And people are getting saved. And it says in verse 17, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, it came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Do you guys see that principle there? purity precedes power. These people came to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And what they did is they took all of their sorcery books and they burned them. And then it says that the word spread in power. There was a purity that was taking place before power happened in a life. You know, I want to be a powerful Christian. I want to be used powerfully in my life. And I pray you do too. I pray that at the end of my life, I pray that people, when they get up during that memorial time, you know, if that's what's going to happen, I pray that they would say about my life that, you know what, that guy served the Lord. He loved the Lord. And man, he didn't compromise at all. He just had a no-compromise walk with Jesus Christ. And he impacted people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that could be the best thing that could be said about your life. You know, there's no doubt about it. But in order to do that, in order to have that kind of power in your life, you have to look at your life and you have to say, hey, is there things that I need to get right? You know, are there areas in my life that are dealing with impurity? The Bible says don't be yoked with an unbeliever. Am I being yoked with an unbeliever? Am I dating someone who's not a believer in Jesus Christ? You will not see the power of God in your life if you are doing that. You know, are you into habitual sin? Are there areas of your life that you have a drink and you start drinking and you tend to drink a little more? And that's an area of life where you have allowed to come into your life. Then you will not see the power of God. You'll not see that testimony in your life, you know, and the power until you say, God, I'm going to seek purity in my life. And by your grace, we're going to be able to overcome this area of sin in my life. But it's not until you seek the purity that you're going to see the power in your life. For, you know, it's amazing. You know, where I grew up, you know, which is, like I told you, the porn capital of the world, San Fernando Valley, that's a $57 billion industry. Okay? Child pornography is a $3 billion industry. If you look at the statistics on even pornography alone, 20% of all women view pornography at work. That's amazing. I won't tell you what the men's are, but it's like attire. They asked, I was looking at stats on that alone, and I was looking at Promise Keepers. And it was saying 3 or 4 out of every 10 Promise Keeper has viewed porn in the last week. Man, but you understand that the church can't function in a... God ain't going to use the church in a powerful way until we as the church say, you know what, we bring these things into the light and we just say, hey, you know, this is our situation, God. I'm in sin. There's an area of my life that I haven't given over to you. And Lord, here it is. Lord, I'm going to bring this into the light to have you work on it and to see your grace manifested in my life and to see you move in my life in a powerful way. Some people deal with anger, man, and all, you know, and that's their issue is, you know, it's that sin of just angry and always bitter and always resentful and those type of things. And man, unless you bring that to Jesus Christ and come to the living water and allow him to, man, minister to your heart in that area, then you ain't going to see the power in your life. You just won't see that. And you see this happening so in a really neat example right there. Another great example of this is found, go to the book of Joshua. And this is a powerful demonstration of this truth taught in this story. Here is the background of it. The Israelites had just won a great victory over the very fortified city of Jericho and were preparing for battle against the small town of Ai. They were not too concerned about the outcome of this battle due to how small Ai was, but they lost. And they were humiliated and noticed why they lost. So here we see why they lost. Let's look at chapter 7 and verse 1. So you got to remember just the background. They just defeated Jericho. They just took Jericho, the Israelites. And man, they are on a high, right? They are so stoked at the things of God, man. They are just like, wow, what a working of God. I mean, they just conquered. They just won this victory. And kind of think of it like our own life, you know, when we come to Jesus Christ, man, talk about a victory, huh? I mean, you know, and there's such victory. And now they go up against a little small, you know, place, you know, and they don't win. And they don't know why. And they don't know why they can't see the Lord's power in their life. And it says in verse 1, but the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, and that's the guy's name, who kind of set things up for the failure of Israel. Achan was the one who took some of these things. And now if you look, and what God basically told the Israelites is you're not to take nothing. You're to burn everything. Get rid of the, you know, sin. Basically, that was the picture. Get rid of it. You know, it's just like as a Christian, the Bible tells us to throw off every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. We don't play with sin, right? As a Christian, we don't even want to be around it. We don't even want to play with it. We want to get rid of every aspect of it. Throw off. If that means you need to lock up your TV, guys, lock up your TV. If that means you can't have a laptop, then don't have a laptop. If that means you know, you can't use the phone anymore, then take out the phone. You know, you are to radically deal with those areas of your life to get rid of sin in your life. You know, whatever it takes, man. If you go, hey, well, that's, you know, that's not being strong for the Lord. That's right. You can't be strong. Seek purity. Seek purity first. You know, and then power will come later on in your life. You know, so Achan takes this stuff and he hoards it. You know, they capture Jericho. He gets the stuff. They can't win against Achan. And it says in verse 10, let's go there. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. And now what Joshua was doing is he was bowing before God. When they lost to this small town, you know, he was just bummed. I mean, he thought, oh my heavens, we're going to die out here, you know, all of us people. And so he's face down before God. And when God speaks to him, he says, get up. Will you get up? Will you wake up? You know, and it's kind of a heavy word to us too, huh? Hey, wake up, man. Wake up, you know. And he says, get up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. On your sheets, I had you guys, I had it underlined and for you to fill in that you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. And there you see again that principle, huh? That purity precedes power. You know, seeking a pure life first. That's where the Israelites blew it, right? Instead of seeking the purity of God, you know, through Achan's sin, man, they couldn't have victory even over the smallest person, the smallest place. And we can't have victory over any sin in our life until we seek purity. And sometimes we'll be, you know, on the face before God, you know, crying out. And if you've ever been in a habitual sin, and I've been in all of them, you know, you can be on your face crying before God, going, God, God, you know, oh God, 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 God. And yet you still have your this, you still have your that, you still have that in the fridge, you still have that in your room, you still have this and your that. You know, you see the total blindness, the total lack of sincerity of the person at that point because of the sin in this life to really come before a pure God who sees what he's doing. And what is he doing? Manipulating. He's trying to manipulate a pure and holy God into allowing him to continue to feel like it's okay to continue in that area of sin in his life. And man, God will say, no, you ain't going any further. I'm not bringing you to step two until you get step one down. And he'll say to that person, get up and deal with this stuff in your life. You know, one of the areas that is that Jesus talked about when it came to sin in our life and having victory, if you want to have victory, he talked about amputation, man. And I tell you what, if you get a limb amputated, that is a major deal. I mean, you don't just go in and they go, hey, you know what? You go, man, I was playing soccer the other day and the ball hit me and it scraped my arm. And you go into the doctor and he goes, yeah, well, you know, we're going to amputate it. You know, I mean, if the doctor said that to me, I'd be like, what? Dude, can we like do a little stitch? You know, no, we gotta cut that thing right off. But there comes a time where something's so bad in your life. And I had a lady, my friend's grandma, just pass away in Sierra Vista the other day. And it got her, she had an infection in her body so bad. And she's an older lady and already had like Alzheimer's disease. And the infection got so bad in her legs that they were saying, you know what, if we're going to have any kind of survival here, we need to amputate. We need to take the legs. Now, this lady was in such a severe place that she just went on and now she's with the Lord, praise God, you know. But that's what the doctor said, is that it is such a radical infection that we need to amputate. And you got to understand, when Jesus talked about sin, that's how he talked about it. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. He said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And that's called radical amputation. And what that means is that if you want to overcome sin in your life, you need to radically amputate those things that are around you that are causing you to stumble in those areas of sin. You need to be radically into seeking purity to the point where you will amputate those things in your life in a radical way. Sometimes people will look at you. I've known people that will go to a hotel and they will take out the TV and put it outside into the hall. Talk about radical amputation. Huh? They don't even want to turn that thing on. They don't even want to be in the same room with it. Nothing like that. And that can be an embarrassing thing for you and I, you know, when we spiritually amputate our sin. But that's part of overcoming sin. I mean, that's the enemy. And that's the fight we're in. You know, we need to be real about that. Have you ever, anybody here read Charles Spurgeon's writings? Wow. If you ever want to really just get convicted in your life, read some Charles Spurgeon. I've heard stories of this guy preaching years and years ago in England, where when this guy preached, man, people flocked to hear this gentleman preach sermons. Now, when I read this to you, I'll read this, and then just reading it makes me kind of like a, ooh, cuts right into me. But to think of how many people came to listen to a man speak on the holiness and righteousness of God in this manner, what a radical move of God in the Spirit of God to impact people to hear this type of message. Charles Spurgeon said, there must be a divorce. Now, he yelled that. He didn't say it like I say it. Within the egg of sin, there sleeps the seed of damnation. And he raised his voice when he said that too. Man, there must be a divorce between you and your sins, not a mere separation for a season, but a clear divorce. Cut off the right arm, pluck out the right eye, and cast them from you, or else you cannot enter into eternal life. That's radical. I mean, that's so radical, and that's a message that's so hard to preach. You know, because, you know what, it's so much easier, you know, to say, hey, you know what, God loves you. You know, God's grace, man, he's with you. You know, God's grace, love, mercy. right on. You know? And we all walk out going, yeah, mercy, grace, yeah. And yet there's sin in our life. And yet we don't look at sin as the enemy that it ultimately is. And the offense that sin is before a holy, pure God. Because it is an offense to a holy and pure God. Such offense that everything that has been tainted with sin dies, whether it's a planet, whether it's a star, it's all been subjected to this state of sin because of our rebellion. And that's radical. That's a radical thought to know that my little girl is going to go through death because of sin. And that I'm going to go through that. You know, and that we all are going to go through it. And thank God in Christ, there is hope in Christ that He came to conquer sin once and for all. And He's given me the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin in my life. And His Word tells me how to do that. I can either reject it and say I'm a Christian, and that would be really iffy, or it's to hold on to the Savior with both hands and say, you know what, Lord, I've stumbled. And now I'm going to come and I'm going to come into the light. And I'm going to take these things, the Achans of my life, as that person was the sin in the camp of Israel. I'm going to take those Achans in my life, that sin in my life, and I'm going to do away with it right now. It's never too late as a believer in the Lord, man, to have a testimony strong for Jesus Christ, to have a powerful witness for Jesus Christ. You know, and if you're here this morning and you go, whoa, you know what? Man, I need to get right. I mean, there is areas in my life, man, that I am doing that's, you know, it's just wrong. It's not according to God's word. I don't see the power of God in my life. And it's because of these areas in my life. You know, there is hope for us in Christ. But the first step is bring it into the light. Seek purity, not strength over your sin. You obviously don't have enough strength in the area of your sin, and that's why you commit sin. But seek purity and what God says about it. And man, you will see such victory in your life, such power in your life. It will blow people away. After I got saved, I was able to baptize my mom. One of the most precious things. After I got saved, I actually baptized my future wife. After I came to Christ, I struggled and came back to Christ and ended up seeing friends come to Jesus Christ. Ended up seeing people. I've had people call me on the phone. I've shared Jesus Christ with them, and they commit suicide. I've had old friends go through. I've seen the power of God to be able to minister to people throughout my life. And I don't deserve that. But yet, God, who is so rich in mercy and so rich in love, wants so badly for His church to be used. And I'm so thankful that God desires to use us. That He doesn't just save the world and then just say, okay, and leave it at that. But He saves us and redeems us and then gives us the power to be able to overcome sin in our lives. So when people are even at the place of committing suicide, they pick up the phone to make one call. And who do they call? Someone who knows Jesus Christ. That's awesome. I thank God for that. And you know what? God wants to make us a powerful church. And it's only going to be through His purity. It's through seeking purity. A holy life where people see us and they see a difference, man. They don't see a difference so much by maybe the way we look, you know, or you know what shirts we wear or how we comb our hair. but so much by our life. So much by how we live our life. What we see, what we watch, what we hear, all those things. Yeah. So let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would give us all a heart of purity this morning, a heart to seek out purity before you. Lord, it is a convicting word to my own heart, Lord. Even as I share it, my own heart trembles, Lord, just in fear before you, that you are a God of love, but you are a God to fear, that you are an awesome Lord, King of kings. And Father, we desire to be a holy church, and I just remember your word that judgment begins in the house of God. And Father, we pray as a church that you would forgive us for our complacency. Lord, help us and stir us up, Lord. Stir us our heart. Make us alive to you, Lord. I pray for those who are struggling in this room with areas of sin in their life that even just this week, Lord, they have struggled with. Father, I pray that they would seek out purity, Lord, your purity right now. That they would come to you not praying for the strength, Lord, but for purity, Lord. That they would truly seek out your purity, your pure life. And Lord, they would bring these things into the light, Lord. They would go to their pastor or to a friend or their wife, their spouse, or someone and share, Lord. And Lord, just allow you to start healing, Lord, their lives. Father, for those of us that just hear a message like this, Lord, and just have that check in our heart, like, Lord, you know, we want to be doing the right things in our life. Father, I pray that you would empower those people, Lord, to seek you out even further in their life. Lord, we can never seek out your purity enough. And so, Lord, as a church, we just come before you in awe. And we just really stand in awe of your word, Lord, and your holiness and your purity. Just thank you for all that you do in our lives and how you make them a testimony for you, Jesus. We thank you that it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit that anything good is accomplished in our life. And we want to give you all the credit and the glory for all things. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.